All righty, got your Bibles? Turn with me to the book of Jonah. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. was noted for a number of things. But one of the sayings that he was noted for saying often was that a man cannot be saved until he first realizes he's lost. And nothing could be truer than that statement. Absolutely right. It is impossible to be saved unless you first realize you need to be saved. You're lost. But I want to add a little something to that, and I don't mean to be a nitpicker tonight. I am 99.99999% positive that Dr. Jones had this in mind in his statement. But in order to realize that you're lost and need salvation, you must realize that there is some consequence to being lost, or you won't want to be saved. People may realize, I'm wandering around, I don't know where I'm going, and who cares? God does. And a person won't come to Christ to be saved unless they realize that being lost bears some consequences. And that consequence is eternal judgment. Now, with that in mind, if we are going to lead people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, it is absolutely essential that we make them understand that they are lost and that being lost has eternal consequences of God's judgment. And that's what our message is about tonight. Jonah has been thrown overboard. He's been swallowed by the fish. He's been in the belly for 3 days and three nights. He repents. He declares unto God that he will fulfill his vows. God speaks to the fish. The fish vomits him up on dry land. And now we're ready to start chapter 3. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Tonight I want us to look at a number of things about sharing with the world a message of God's judgment. And here in these first two verses, I see a couple of principles that are important to us. The first one is this. Past failures do not necessarily remove you from present or future opportunities to witness. You will go up to some people and you want to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that necessitates bringing a message of condemnation to them. And they will say to you, who do you think you are? Why are you telling me that I'm a sinner? You're one too. Are they right? Yes, they are. You're a hypocrite then if you're condemning me in my sin. Are they right? No? Very good. What's the difference? Sinner saved by grace. Exactly. And here's the difference. In verse 10 of chapter 2, nine of chapter 2, Jonah repented of his sin. You see, yes, we all are sinners. There are none of us that are better sinners or quote-unquote, more godly sinners than others. It's not how many sins we've committed. It's not what type of sins we've committed. The issue is, have we repented of our sinful lies, our distrust in the Lord Jesus? Have we come to faith in Him? And if so, then we've been redeemed. We've been forgiven. And therefore, we've been commissioned to go to a world with a message of that very same forgiveness. Just because you messed up in the past doesn't mean that you don't have a present or a future opportunity to share the message of reconciliation. Now, let me state something very carefully, because this can be taken to too great extreme. The one is, okay, well, if I've messed up, I have no opportunities, or the opposite extreme is, if I mess up, there's no problems with it. I believe in a pastoral ministry and some other areas of vocational ministries, certain sins will disqualify from ministry. I've said this before, and I'll repeat it again. If I go out and have an affair, you're going to need a new pastor. My wife will kill me. I think I disqualify myself from the ministry. That doesn't mean, though, that I can't fulfill my obligations as every other Christian to be a witness to somebody else. There are consequences to sin. But when there is repentance of that sin and forgiveness and a person comes to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he is commissioned. And here, Jonah said, okay, Lord, I'm not going to Nineveh. And God said, oh, yes, you are. And Jonah said, oh, no, I'm not. And God said, let's see. And in the end, Jonah said, oh, yes, I am. And God says, okay, Jonah, I'm giving you a second chance. It came, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah a second time. Second thing. We need to go to people that God appoints us to go to. He didn't say, okay, Jonah, I'll give you another chance. Where would you like to go this time? He said, arise and go unto Nineveh, that great city. The one, kind of in parentheses, that you didn't want to go to. That was God's direction. Why would God send Jonah to a specific city? Answer, God had prepared the hearts of the people of that city to hear His word. God had prepared Jonah to go to that city. It was a match literally made in heaven. And God was going to use Jonah there. He wasn't going to use Jonah anywhere else. He wanted him in Nineveh. Do you know there are people that God has prepared that you can minister to? Keep your finger here. Turn with me to Acts chapter 16. I love this little passage of Scripture. Acts chapter 16. Verse 6. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Why would God forbid someone to, and he's talking about the Apostle Paul here and Timothy. Why would he forbid them to preach the word in Asia? And by the way, Asia here is Asia Minor. It's Turkey and that area. It's not the China and Korea and Japan and that area of the country. Well, he did. Verse 7, after they were come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit permitted them not. You're not going there. Nope, you're not going there. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. He said, guys, I don't want you here. I don't want you here. I don't want you here. I want you over here. Interesting situation. And you're going to go in there and you're going to preach the gospel and you're going to be arrested. Oh, that sounds like a great plan. And you're going to be sitting in jail one night and there's going to be an earthquake and there's going to be a Philippian jailer that's there and he's going to get saved. I've got it all planned out. God says to Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh, that great city. I've got it all planned out. How do we know where to go to, who to speak to? Let me ask you a question. Who are you burdened to speak to? I think God lays burdens on our hearts. I've got a couple of people that God is just really burdening. I know a lot of people. But there are just a couple right now that God is really burdening my heart that I keep in my prayers for their salvation and I look for opportunities to witness to them. And sometimes there's an open door and sometimes there's a closed door. But whenever the door is open, and I'm always looking for an open door with these people, especially, that's the ones. Well, you say, there's no one really burdening my heart. That's a sad commentary, isn't it? Do you know the whole world is burdening the heart of God? For God so loved the world. That's a sad thing if there's no one that's burdening our hearts. Who is it that you have a burden for? God probably put that burden there. And if He did, He's going to open up doors of opportunity and time, just like He did with Paul and just like He did with Jonah. We need to be going to the people that God directs us to go to. Sometimes there will be opportunities where it's not a person that we've been burdened for that just pops up, or you go into a store and somebody says something, or you go someplace and you find yourself hearing a conversation that you don't want to hear. I was out with the guys working on the sewer lines in Apollo the other day, and guess what? They are not known for flowery speech. Well, actually, there is a part of their speech that's flowery. It's the part that fertilizes the flowers. It stinks. Yeah, they are representative in a profession that's adequate to their speech. I had a burden for these guys while I was with them. What am I going to say to them? I've never met these guys before until just the other week. It'll be interesting to see how the Lord works in the future. Next one. Let's go back to Jonah chapter 3. Not only are we to go to the people that God would have us to go to and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. We better be taking God's word to the people that God has prepared. Preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. At some time previous to this, God gave Jonah a message. We don't have it recorded here when he told him what to say and what he told him to say, but he did. That is clear from verse 2. Well, how do we know what that is? Let me give you a little background information into Paul Reiner Sermon Preparation 101. Sit down, open Bible, read Bible, think about Bible, think some more about Bible, think some more about Bible, read some more Bible, think some more Bible, speak. I guarantee you, if you do that, you'll have a message. I guarantee you, if you do that, if you fill your mind with God's Word and you have a burden for the people that God would have you to send to, when you get there, you will have a message to speak to them. It's as simple as that. It is a message of God's Word being in you that then will flow out of you. He didn't say to Jonah, what creative ideas did you get when you were in the fish's stomach? Well, Lord, I thought I would do this amazing thing, and, you know, I would gain their attention. And may I say there is a room for some creativity in preaching the Word of God, in declaring the Word of God in evangelistic opportunities. It doesn't have to be, well, here, let me show you in my Bible. The Bible is not against creativity, but it does not need creativity to accomplish its purposes. It was Spurgeon who said, the Word of God is like a caged lion. You just let it loose, and it'll do its thing. Verse 3. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. Man, that thing was big. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, yet 40 days... and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Fourth thing that I see here is that the methodology of our proclamation must be consistent with the message of our proclamation. He went in and he cried. Can you see Jonah going in? Hey, guess what? Judgment's coming. hey, God's going to judge you. I hate to tell you this, but judgment's coming. No emotion, no passion, no fervor. I would say to the city, yeah, here's a guy who's just saying the same old thing who really doesn't have a message from God. But he went in and he cried. In crying, he's telling the people in the tone of his voice, God is really going to do this. God has a passion for you as I have a passion for preaching this message to you. God doesn't want you to suffer. God wants you to be saved. But how much motivation will a person have when, God loves you? Sure. That really expresses, the deep, deep love of Jesus. Our style must be consistent with our message. He entered and he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. It was a message of God's judgment. But there was something else in it. Verse 5, look at the results of it. So the people of Nineveh believed God. Now, if there was nothing else in there, it's going to be overthrown, let's get out of town. That would be the proper response. If you were an ordinary, logically thinking person, if this city is going to be overthrown, I want to get out of here, right? Unless there was something else to the message. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast nor herd nor flock taste anything, let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? See, there was not only a message of judgment, there was also a message of grace. You guys are evil. You guys are wicked. You guys are living apart from the commands of Christ and how He has designed life to live. And if you continue in your ways, in 40 days, judgment is coming. Well, why wait for 40 days? Because in that time, you can repent. And God is gracious. And God will forgive. That had to be in the message. Or else the king and the nobles all the way down to the least of the people and putting sackcloth on and sitting in ashes and not drinking and not eating wasted their time. But you see, you can't come up to a person and just say to them, well, look, if you repent, God'll spare you. He'll save you. He'll make you a child of God. He'll do all these wonderful things for you. Well, why do I need to do that? I'm pretty fine now. Unless judgment's coming. So there was a message of judgment, and with that, a message of grace. And the king said, we better do this right. Why is it that in our society today, it's so hard to get people to make a decision for Christ? Could it be that we're not proclaiming the message of judgment, and consequently, a lot of people are saying, well, why bother? I'm pretty good the way I am now. Or if they do make a so-called profession of faith, it's iffy. Look at these guys, what they were doing. You have any concerns that their repentance wasn't genuine? Do you know why their repentance was genuine? They had a message of judgment. If you take the judgment out, well then, if there's any repentance, it's iffy. There was no iffiness about this. Guess what happened? Verse 10. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that He said that He would do unto them, and He did it not. Now, just to get into some theological discussion here, there's a verse of Scripture that says God is not like man, He does not repent. God's offer to Nineveh was, if you repent, I will refrain from judgment. But judgment is coming if you don't. So when it says He repented, He was remaining true to His word. He just said, okay, I won't do it. Simple as that. By the way, next week, next Sunday night, Lord willing, the title of the message is, think what it is now. I knew it. It's Jonah's words. Look at verse 2. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? I just knew it. Isn't it a wonderful thing that you can count on God to act like God? And you see, when you go out with a message of judgment, you can say that with certainty, because if people don't repent, judgment is coming. But when you offer forgiveness of sins with repentance, you know that God is a God who will do it. And these people came to trust God for a deliverance. Dr. Jones was right. People will never get saved until they first realize they're lost. But they won't get saved unless they also realize that being lost has consequences. Let's be careful in our evangelistic efforts to make sure we preach a message of God's judgment. It's the only way we can preach a message of God's salvation. Father, tonight help us in our endeavors. I pray that You will lay the souls of men, women, and children upon our hearts. Remind us that we don't need to be creative or innovative in our approach. We just need to be faithful in sharing the Word of God. Lead us to the people of Your choosing and accomplish Your purposes as we remain faithful to You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Have a good week.